Well, good evening. I feel like I'm surrounded with a crowd of witnesses. And I just want to bless you tonight. Y'all, youth, and everybody that's here. I suppose there's parents here that contributed to the youth being here. May God bless you. And as I observe and look at the audience, you know, there's a reality that we got to face, and that is that we're living souls, and that we bear responsibility in how we order our lives, and that's what your Bible school was all about, is to encourage people to really take a look at their life and seek the Lord and look for ways to better glorify His name and honor Him. And we're here tonight because of what Jesus has done for us. And we just need to lay aside everything else and think about what Christ has done for us. And that we have responsibility in what we do about that. And tonight, whether you accept the fact that Jesus gave His life or whether you don't, doesn't change the fact of what He did for you. He gave that offer. And that's very sobering. Now, before I go any further, I just want to thank you for giving me the privilege of being here and sharing just a little portion of this Bible school. Just the little bit that I was here, I was blessed. And I want to thank you for allowing me to come and share this way. I believe that those of us that preach the word and teach the word, we probably get more than what we can give. And I guess we need that to keep giving. Now, there's something tonight that's very sobering, and that every one of us go from this setting with greater accountability. And I have a message titled tonight, Sinning Against Great Light. And I just want to read a couple scriptures here. In Luke 12, verse 47, it says, "And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did not commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." So that means that tonight, we've been given great light. Y'all been given this great light, great responsibility. God has handing out lots of wisdom. I heard a lot about wisdom throughout this Bible school. And God has made that available to you all. And now you bear responsibility for that wisdom. You can't just discard it. God knows the wisdom that you have received or that was given to you. And you can't just decide, you know what, I don't agree with this. I'm just going to discard it. God knows it. And I think and I believe that we people in America are one of the most responsible people in the world for the Word of God and living it out. I mean, there's a lot of people in the world that are hungry for Bibles. I just got a Christian Aid pamphlet last week or the week before, and it talked about their vision of how many Bibles they want to print for 2023. And it's hundreds of thousands of Bibles, and they say that there's a hunger for the Word of God. There's thousands and tens of thousands of people that don't have the Bible. And here we have it. How many Bibles do you have in your house? How many Bibles decorate your bookshelves, your nightstands? We're the most responsible people, brothers and sisters. We can't discard the light and say that we didn't have much. We didn't know better. So we have that responsibility. And I asked you tonight the question, and we're going to look at some scriptures further. So what is the greatest sin? The rebellion against light? Think about that. We'll look at, I want to look at Matthew 4. Those that have Bibles, you can follow along, but Matthew 4, verses 12. I'm going to just read verses 12 through 16. That seeing that ye may see and not perceive, hearing that ye may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all the parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are they. I got the wrong scripture. I didn't think it sounded right. Matthew 4 I wanted to look at. And I'm in Mark 4. Mark 4, verse 12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, in the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region in the shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, here we have this scripture where Jesus, it tells us where Jesus did his ministry. And then if you go to another scripture I want to look at, it's Matthew 11, he says, and this is the scripture that I base this sermon on, Matthew 11, verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because he repented not. So Jesus did a lot of works in Capernaum. They say most of his miracles were done in Capernaum and the surrounding cities. And this is what he's saying. He says, woe unto thee, Chorazin, which was only like 2 miles from Capernaum, and woe unto thee, Bethsaida, which was also in that community. If the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. And I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. Then he says, and thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you that it is more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. These scriptures I have pondered on many times. And the only thing I can understand is that the greatest sin tonight is when we, the people, have the great light and have been taught the wisdom that God has in his word and rediscard it and walk away from it. And that is a terrible sin tonight. And God will hold us accountable. We live in a land where there's lots of gender confusion going on. There's this thing of same gender marriages, and we hear this, and it's an awful sin. And then we read the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, and we know why God destroyed that wicked city. Couldn't even find 5 souls that were Christians or that honored God. I should say it that way. And God destroyed that city. And here in this scripture, he's saying that it's going to be more tolerable in the day of judgment for Sodom, a wicked city, what we see happening in America, for then people like you and I that rebel against the light. We don't want to face the wrath of the Almighty God. And I plead with you tonight, don't take chances. I think I told you earlier this week that, you know, being a Christian isn't that complicated. You know, if we're just broken and contrite before the Lord and read our Bibles and pray and have a godly church that helps us make applications and practical Christianity, we can live the Christian life. God will give us the grace. But oh, the burden I have tonight is that, you know, this is a high point in your youth. You as youth, this is a high point in your Christian walk. The fact of it is that most of you are going to go back to work and back to normal schedule life. Any Christian, we need this. Christians need this high points. Everybody needs his high points. And you need those times in life where you make new commitments and you take a look at your life and you repent and you pray together and you have revival in your own heart. But the thing is, you're not going to have Bible school here next week. You're going to go back to work. You're going to face some temptations. You're going to face some things that you didn't face here in this setting. So this is a maybe you could call it utopia. It's a high time. But the fact is we're going to get down here in earth life and you're going to have to work it out. But I want you to remember the great light that was given to you. I have 3 points I want to look at. As I look at this scripture, God's judgment to mankind is based on what we received, the amount of light we have. God knows what we received. See, there's something that's in our hearts that comes from childhood. I remember our little ones that we were trying to teach them and bring them up in the Lord, and you would give them some sound instruction, and then you would catch them doing something they weren't supposed to be doing, and then you would approach them, and they say, "Well, I didn't know that. I didn't know you said that. I didn't know better." And you say, "Yes, you did. You heard what I said." And then I did. See, that's how adults act like sometimes. It's kind of amusing when little ones do it, and we know what we need to do when they try that on us. With adults, it's not that easy, is it? We can't just take them to the back corner of the house and pull the stick out of the cupboard and take care of it. God's judgment is based on what we have received. God knows that November 14 through 18, 2022, your name was on the roll call here at Harmony Christian Fellowship Bible School. God knows that. Romans 2:16 says, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel." And what's really comforting about that is that God will not pull any fast ones on us. Like today, in today's world, people take advantage of each other. And they won't tell them the whole truth, and then they'll turn around and backstab them. With God, God gave us the truth tonight. We can know the gospel. God isn't going to pull a fast one on you. You can know what the truth is. And that's very comforting. I believe we're the most responsible people. The next point I have is we cannot gauge what we do or not do by what others are doing. It's so easy for us to look at other people. I remember, you know, I would tell my dad, "Well, others are doing it." And we had teenagers in our home, and we would give direction, and they said, "Well, others are doing it." I guess you didn't change much, did you? I think you probably have that same problem that our teenagers had. So whose parents are you responsible to? The other's parents or your own parents? What did the Bible say? Honor father and mother, or honor the other father and mothers? It's not that complicated, is it? So the truth is there's going to be differences in families, there's going to be differences in church groups, and there's going to be differences in Christians in other countries. That's just the truth. Because there's different cultures and different upbringings, but we can all honor God and make the Word of God practical in our life, and you're responsible to your parents and the church that your parents take you to. That's where you're responsible right at the present. And look for ways to honor that. It's not complicated. You don't have to go to high school to learn that. And that's what God's going to hold us accountable for. The next point I have is presence of light does not mean light is within. You know, you've been in the presence of light. Lots of sound teaching. You may go to a sound church life. You may have sound parents that give you the light, that have, you know, they read the Bible, they have family worship, they sing together. But that doesn't mean the light is in you. We have a little story in the Bible where there was 10 virgins. And virgins means they were upright people. They were not indulging in the sins of the world. 5 of them had enough oil to take them through. 5 of them ran out of oil. There's a possibility that tonight you have oil in your lamp. But if you're not careful, you could run out of oil. You need to keep applying yourself. Now, the thing about this story is that I do not believe those 5 wise virgins could share their oil with those other 5. Because receiving oil in your lamp is a personal thing. And I can't transfer to you. I may have oil in my lamp, but I can't somehow say, oh, you're getting low, I'm going to give you oil so you can keep burning for Jesus. It's something that every one of us need to do in a personal way. If we could transfer it as a pastor, if I could transfer my inspiration and the light of Christ in me and transfer it to you, I would be full-time in that business. I can preach the word, I can share the word, but it's a personal thing for you to receive the lamp oil in you. And it's a personal thing for you to keep that filled up and keep it burning until your life is over. We cannot borrow the light from somebody else. So just being in the presence of a Bible school isn't enough. So just in closing, thinking about the light, and I know when we talk about the light of the Scripture and the Bible talks about the light, it has reference to Jesus. But just a few things in practicality of the light is, of course, number one is the gospel. The other light you have is the Christian churches. Church life where you can grow spiritually and get fed, and Christian schooling. Whether you have homeschool, whether your curriculum is Christian, Bible-based, or you have a Christian day school. And we're taught the two kingdom principle. I mean, what a blessing we have. That two kingdom principle, the kingdom of Christ on this earth and the church. And then you have the kingdom of this earth and the governments and so on. It gives us a foundation for non-resistance and why we don't vote and all those kinds of things. We're such a blessed people. The doctrine of separation and the doctrine of adorning the gospel and all those things I include under the light that God has given us. What a blessing. And young people, you're young. If it's God's will for you to grow up, grow older, I don't know how old you are, but maybe you're old enough to start a courtship, maybe not. But if God leads you to start a courtship and you have family life, you have a family, you get married and have children, you want to have a foundation for your children for the next generation. And that happens when you plug in with church life and you're faithful to faithful brotherhoods and honor father and mother, and you can do the same as your parents did for you. And that's great light. That's an awesome light. Don't throw it away. So tonight, if you choose to discard the sin or discard the light, that's a great sin. I just want to tell a little story in closing. I had a friend of mine. This happened many years ago. He rebelled against the church, rebelled against his parents, went out and lived his own life, got involved in bull riding. And he was good at it. He wanted to make it a career. And actually was rather successful in that realm of sport. Till one night, he got thrown off the bull. And when he fell down, his arms went back, and it pulled his chest armor up, and the bull's foot came down and got him right in underneath that armor and injured his liver really bad. I don't remember how long he lived, but that injury took his life. And I'm not here to determine where he is. He may have repented before he died. But I tell you that story because as I was preparing this sermon, that came back to my mind. And I asked myself, so what was the greatest sin there? That thing of rebelling against his parents and rebelling against the church, I believe he'll be held accountable for. I believe he'll be held accountable more for than somebody else that may be out there involved in that activity that never was taught like he was taught. Are you getting what I'm trying to communicate? And I'm not in no way advocating that kind of activity. I don't think we should go there, watch them, or be involved in any of that. But the fact of rejecting the truth when the truth was given is a terrible sin and will help be held accountable. May God bless you. I'm leaving part of my heart here because I just desire to see young people make it through. So pray for me if you think about me, and I can't pray for all your names because I don't know all your names, but we can pray for this Bible school. Let's just pray right now. Heavenly Father, we bow before you. We thank you for your love, and we thank you for this opportunity. And I just want to pray for each and every one of these young men and young ladies as they go from here and as they apply the truth in their hearts and lives, and help them to keep it and to live it and to be faithful. And if they sense themselves slipping away, that they would talk to somebody that loves them and encourages them and can pray with them and help them stay in the straight and narrow way. Bless their parents and bless their pastors and bless those that love them, brothers and sisters and siblings. Just be with them and bless them as they go from here. We thank you for this opportunity that we still have in this land to be able to have Bible schools and preaching and teaching like this. And we thank you for this gift. And God forbid that we would forsake it and let it slip away from us. Just guide and keep us. Pray for those that may be lost, that need their Savior. And I pray you continue speaking to them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.